Hiya everybody! Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host Andy Nolch, and I have to say it's particularly lovely to be here tonight, because it's a night where I am. This is a podcast where I talk all about interesting information that I've discovered about the world. It has nothing to do with the Kink TV show, which I also host, and if you want to see that and you're in Melbourne, it's on 11:30pm every Friday night on Channel 31. Or you can see it on YouTube, just YouTube search a Kink TV show, and you'll be able to watch all episodes there. Now, before I get this podcast started, I'm going to have to warn you about this. That's just me sipping on my green tea. So don't be alarmed, and hopefully don't be disgusted, because some people apparently get disgusted by the sound of people slurping drinks, and I don't know why, but some people don't like the sound of that, and I don't mind it. Anyway, on today's podcast, it is part 5 of the New World Order Wake Up Call documentary commentary. So if you're new to this podcast, probably start with part 1 of this commentary of this documentary, because I describe what the documentary is all about, and you'll be able to follow along with it. And so just skip back to part 1 and start listening to it there. This is a really good documentary about the world and what's going on. It's quite out there and pretty confronting, and I'm not asking you to believe what I say or what this documentary says, but just start thinking with it and seeing if it's true for you. Because what's true is what's true for you. Which people might be like, what the hell does that mean? That, like, what's true is what is the truth? And I do agree that, yeah, what's true is what's the truth. But also, what's true is what's true for you means, to me, that means don't let people try and control you and tell you what to think like you're a robot. You know what I mean? Don't let people try and make a robot out of you, and like, don't let people force their opinions down their throat. See, it's cool with me saying these ideas, right? But if I said to you, you have to believe me on this and don't research it for yourself and don't find out your own truth, this is the truth and you don't argue with me, and like, I make you think the same as me, that's like treating you like a robot and not letting you think for yourself. Whereas I like the idea of saying, you know, these are these ideas, this is what I find to be the truth, and you find out the truth for yourself. And personally, I think you'll find out what the truth is, which is what I think, but I definitely could be wrong. So it's better off you investigating yourself and finding out what the truth is for you. That's why I think, yeah, what's true is what's true for you. I think that's a really good line, because it just stops you from getting pushed around and bullied and getting brainwashed into things and stuff, because you think for yourself and you question everything. You know what I mean? Anyway, I think that's the right attitude to have about it. So, you know, because if you tell people they're wrong, you can confuse them a bit. You know, then they're like, what the hell? I thought this was the case, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you be a damn strong person and you stand up for yourself. And if you think something's the truth, then you say that, or you don't let people beat you down with what they think the truth is. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's wrong to do that. I think it's good we all voice our opinions on things and work out what's going on, and yeah, so anyway, like for example, personally, I think some people believe in God, or they have a God, whereas I think other people, and probably the atheist, just don't have a God at all and have no connection to God at all. So they say, I don't believe in God, there is no God. And really, when they're saying that, I really believe them. I think they really, in their life, they don't have a God or any sort of force or like God or whatever. I really don't think they have that, and that's why they're saying, because I don't have any evidence to suggest it. and they don't perceive it or anything. And but someone else who might be like a strong Christian might believe in God, and they say, no, God is true, and God's in my life, and that's true as well. Do you see what I mean? Like, that's why it's what's true is what's true for you. Let me put it this way, okay? Some people are... So let's say you got a crazy person that's hearing voices in their head, right? And someone might roll their eyes and go, that's bullshit, that's not true, they're not really hearing a voice in their head or something, but it's just like, yeah, that's... You don't hear a voice in your head, but that person does. You know what I mean? We've both got different realities on things. So with the God thing, it's just like, if that atheist started working with God or trying to find out what God and tried to think with God, he might start noticing that there's some sort of God force or something going on in his life. And he might start saying, you know what, I believe in God now. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that not everything's the same for everyone. Like, there's not an agreed upon reality of everything that's going on in the world and stuff. Even though I think there is agreed upon reality, but like, some people do have a God in their life and some people don't. So that probably more the correct statement to say is God does exist. Some people, and I truly believe God does exist for some people, and other people it doesn't. And the atheist will make all these arguments and just be like, dude, you're looking at, you haven't investigated if there is a God or not. You're just looking at all the evidence saying there isn't a God. And definitely there's 100%, there's all this evidence saying there isn't a God, definitely. But there's also all this evidence saying there is a God. You know, what I'm saying is that things aren't that simple in life where there's black and white, like there's a God or there's not a God. Or, you know, things just aren't black and white. This is one of the biggest discoveries I've had in my life, that you can have two answers to one question and they can both be correct at the same time. Because I used to think that everything used to be black or white, used to be this or that. So someone says, they go, is the Church of Scientology a cult? And it's just like there's all this evidence saying it's not, but then there's all this evidence saying it is. And cause, and there's debates about it, and there's confusions and stuff, and some people say it isn't, some people say it is. And because the truth is it's both. Yes, it is a cult, but yes, it's also not a cult. Do you know what I mean? Things aren't that simple. I guess it's kind of like, imagine a soccer player, right, who can kicks goals and great at kicking goals, but he's terrible at passing the ball in soccer, field passing, right? So every game he goes out there and he kicks two goals and everyone's like, oh, this guy's awesome. But at the same time, he makes big stuff-ups when passing the ball to other players, right? To just screw up the team, right? And then people go, is Jimmy Johns a good soccer player? And some people go, yeah, he's great. And other people go, no, he's not. And another one goes, yeah, he's great. No, he's not. And it's just like, what the hell is he then? And everyone gets confused. And because the answer is, he is a good and he's a bad soccer player. Do you know what I mean? This is like probably deep Greek philosophical shit right here that I'm talking about. But if you just think with this idea in life that there can be two answers to one question and they can both be totally perfectly correct, things start making a lot more sense. You start seeing everything in gradient scales, like different shades of grey. You know what I mean? Everything is relative. You know? And so, life isn't this or that. You know? It's a bit of everything. Something interesting to think with. I can't think of an example of how you can... I can tell you right now what's an example of how you can apply it to your life. When you hear debates in the media or friends arguing about something, it's probably an argument where there's both sides are right and they're both attacking each other, fighting and saying the other side's wrong. But it's just like, like there's a problem there. You know what I mean? Because, and they obviously can't see that both sides are correct in the situation and both sides are also incorrect in the situation. You know? You put this in your pipe and smoke it, right? Let's say there's someone who doesn't like the Greens Party, right? And there's someone who does like the Greens Party. And the person comes up with all these good arguments saying how bad the Greens are. Then the person who's part of the Greens Party says all these good arguments saying how the Greens are, right? And then they've got this fight and they're going on like, which one's right, which one's right? And obviously the truth is there's some good stuff and there's some bad stuff about the Greens Party, right? But overall, let's say there's more bad information about the Greens Party than there is good. So you go, okay, well, there's more bad information than good. So you say the Greens Party is therefore bad, right? But chuck this in your pipe and smoke it. Them causing their badness in society can lead to the individuals in that society having to rise up, improve themselves and fight this badness. And in the long run, people become a lot more switched on to politics, work out what's going on in the world, and people get better from it. And then you go, well, hold on. Was the Greens Party a good or a bad thing? Because in the long term, them being bad has actually helped society as a whole because people have improved and challenged and took them on. And then you go, shit. Well, we've worked out earlier that the Greens Party is definitely a bad influence, but you look at what they're doing over the decades and you go, hold on, this has a result of being a good influence on society. So if you look at the two evidences, they're good and they're a bad party at the same time. And this is the sort of idea that I think philosophers and Buddhists have in that, like, everything just cancels out and it's like, you stop caring about things because you're like, well, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's got good and bad in it. You know? You're like, it's for me personally, right, because this happens to me a lot. Something bad will happen to me, and then in the future, something good will come from that bad thing that's happened. And I'm like, what the hell? So now, whenever anything bad happens to me, I go, well, this is going to have an opposite reaction to being good because that just seems to always happen. So then I'm not that fussed about it. And I know this sounds crazy, right? But if I hopped in my car now and then smashed it, right, I would actually be sitting there thinking, well, something good is probably going to come from this. There must be a reason. Like, maybe I'm going to go to the car factory and meet someone really interesting or, like, win a car tomorrow or just something. Or maybe me getting into that car accident stopped me from doing something else in the future that was more dangerous. And that's when you get in this condition of suddenly really you become a lot happier because you're not stressed. You don't really care about what's going on in life because you're like, well, it's all right because things always turn out well. And you start cruising along like this spiritual Buddhist. It's sort of like, yeah, I'm chilled. Yeah, it's all right. You know what I mean? Like, you're not that fussed about things, you know? Like, for example, right? Yeah, if something happens, like someone cancels an appointment or something like that, like in the past, I'd be like, what the hell? I set aside this time and, you know, it was organized and now this is just wreck, blah, 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 and I'll be all serious and it'll get me angry. But now I'm just like, well, there's a reason why this person's canceled and something good's going to happen to it. Like God or something made this person cancel this appointment. Because I just noticed too many times in my own life, whenever something bad happened, it would end up being a good thing in the long run. So now when anything bad happens, just like, well, something good's going to come from it and I don't mind. And I'm like, what the hell? See how wild this is? I don't know if other people have noticed this in their life as well, but maybe it's my approach to negative things that happen and I just see the positive in it and I see how I can make it benefit from it. But all I know is that if I hadn't been through what I'd been through in my life, I wouldn't know the stuff that I know today. Like, I wouldn't mind being just pumped full of information by, like, God or the universe or something, so that then I didn't have to go through bad things in order to improve myself. But if that was the case, I imagine people would hear me talking and they'd say, how do you know this? And I'll go, I just know it. And they'll go, well, where's the evidence? And then everyone will just think I'm a nutjob. But now that I've got actual life experience, I can, like, label down specific experiences that happened to me and all this sort of stuff, and then it gives me street cred. You know what I mean? It's interesting. Anyway, all this stuff is interesting, and just to let you guys know, you can bend spoons with your mind. You can actually bend spoons with your mind. Look up Uri Geller and he's not the only one, and it's been like tested by the CIA and all this sort of stuff because they wanted spies that could do these sort of wild things. It's quite handy in the espionage business. Because when I first heard someone say to me, you know, you can bend a spoon with your mind, I was just like, oh, yeah, that's just positive thinking crap. Like, I was just like, yeah, you know, show me that. You know, like, I really didn't believe him. Then I started looking into it, and I was like, this guy's right. What the fuck? You can bend a spoon with your mind, like, if you get into the right condition. And maybe I can't, but some other people can. That is wild, right? This Uri Geller guy does do it with his mind. And then I had a dude who can light. He can light paper on fire in his hands. Like, somehow his hands can make electricity and it lights the paper on fire. Anyway, I had this guy shoot me in the foot with a shot of electricity, right? And I actually felt the pain in my foot, right? He was a chiropractor, like some sort of spiritual chiropractor. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, wow, he actually... He actually did that. You know what I mean? Like, it's, this isn't just bullshit. People can actually turn light bulbs on with their mind and stuff. And that's a real life changer. Because it just changes the ball game of life so much. It's just like, wow, you can get into the condition where you can light paper on fire with your hands, you know? Anyway. I haven't even gotten to the start of this video commentary. Okay, so we're 28 minutes into the documentary called Wake Up Call, New World Order, and this is part 5. So let's play this documentary and I'll continue the video commentary. Let's go.
Since then, I've never stopped pursuing Bilderberg. The whole international gangster organization led by Rockefellers and Rothschilds as they manipulate the world for their own selfish interest.
Okay, he said led by Rockefellers and Rothschilds. Those are some of the biggest, richest, corrupt banking drug company families in the world. And they're very powerful.
About 10 have come in. They've been coming in slowly in typically big black cars with what appears to be bulletproof glass.
They're all driving into
and
Bilderberg
a few
meeting.
Pictures of some of the people. We're being kept well back from the building by an awful lot of security people. But, you know, there'll be more security as this thing develops.
Okay, just a reminder.
By the way, anyone listening, if they know much about the Bilderberg meetings, they have them once a year in sort of summertime for the Northern Hemisphere. If any of you guys are in those sort of areas, totally go to it and protest and stuff. That'll be heaps of fun to network and connect with those sort of people and stuff, and to protest these sort of things is really important. So just get on out there, man, and just go find out where the Bilderberg thing is. And Alex Jones talks a lot about it, and... protested.
Okay. I am. This is the line. We checked in the city.
By the way, if everyone when it comes to the vaccine issue, right, it's a really, really serious thing, what's going on with the vaccines. If all people who know what the truth is about vaccines, right, started making banners and hanging them over bridges that go over freeways and highways and stuff, if, you know, you do, you people listening and stuff, and if you just went and did that, it'd really make a difference. Or if you started a Facebook page saying vaccines are bad or something, and then you pay just $1 a day to promote that Facebook page, so it just some cruises along sometimes in some people's news feeds on Facebook, and they see the vaccine page, it just gives, it just helps to wake people up to find out the truth and start questioning what the doctors are injecting into their kids. That's really good, and that's really good karma. You do that, and you, if you actually know vaccines are bad and you do these things, they're not a huge commitment. If you do these things to wake people up to what's going on, I guarantee you the universe will give you something good in return. You'll start feeling real positive vibes and stuff, and things will start going well for you in return. You fork out your own money to make the banner and stuff. You put in your own time. You'll really get some stuff to return, stuff in return for that action. So I recommend you all to do that. Let's continue.
Oh, yeah, there's one right there. Hi. Hey, we're not your property. We're not your slaves. We're going to defeat the New World Order. The New World Order is going to be defeated. You realize that? I'm glad you do. Always does throughout history.
Okay. These evil dudes are driving into the, in the limousines into the Bilderberg meeting. I don't even think they even fully really know what the New World Order plan is. I think some of them do, like maybe the Rothschilds and that. But a lot of them, I think, are just like corrupt politicians or corrupt businessmen that are just totally want their business to get ahead, and they just totally want to dominate and stuff. And they don't even think what they're doing is bad at all. And they don't even know what the New World Order plan is. All they know is they want to get that next contract to drug a bunch of kids or some shit because it's good for their, you know, business. Or they think the drugging is actually the right thing, and they think those kids need to get drugs. So they're like, yeah, let's get the contract to give those kids the medications at school because they need it. And anyway, they're not all like actually switch on and know what's going on. They just, they couldn't care less. Like, they wouldn't research these sort of things. They wouldn't listen to these sort of podcasts and stuff. They just want to dominate and get super rich. That's why it's funny hearing Alex Jones, when they roll up, Alex Jones having to go at them, because they're so, like, some of them are just so oblivious to what's going on, and they just think that, like, Alex Jones, like, hates people trying to get rich and is just like, this guy's an idiot or whatever.
Now, I think what is very difficult for most people to understand is how such a small group of 125 men and a few women control a population base of 6 billion people. Actually, it's much easier than you think. These people work in what I call a systemic methodology, meaning that you take a pie, just imagine you take an apple pie and you slice this apple pie into lots of very small pieces, and you put in front of each one of these pieces your men or women of trust. And by controlling this individual, you control an entire organization. For example, if you take Paul Wolfowitz, who runs the World Bank, through him you can control the entire organization. You don't need to control what the dishwasher or the toilet cleaner thinks or does or believes in. You just need to control what he does and what he believes in. And what he does will permeate the entire organization. And that's how you control with very, very small...
Yeah, and that's how you can go into organizations or churches or whatever, and that all the people at the low level don't even know what's going on. And it's really only just sort of one person at the top that has an idea of what's going on within the organization and their plans for the future. Because that's the only person who's been briefed on it. Because they don't need everyone to know. You just need the person who's in power to know so that they can make the changes. And also, if you need to have a lot of people know in the business, then it's a lot more chance to get exposed by people who are, you know, who are good, who want to fight it. You know, you don't want many people knowing about the crime that you're committing. It has to be very kept secret.
An entire global population of 6 billion people.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government. They have created a super state in Europe called the European Union. They're intent on creating a Western Hemisphere Union called the American Union. NAFTA is to be expanded into every country in this hemisphere. As NAFTA expands, it will take on the role of the American Union.
That's why it's really good that the Brexit happened, because it's a big attack on the European Union, and the European Union is something you really, really don't want. Because then there'll be the American Union and then the Asian Union, and then you just put one person in charge of all those, and then you have a whole world government.
And only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
In 2005, an arrangement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States was made. This arrangement, unannounced to the public, unregulated by Congress, merges the United States, Mexico, and Canada into one entity, erasing all borders.
Okay, that's again erasing all borders here. They want to have, they just want to flood all the countries with different sorts of people and stuff. I was going to say, yeah, so what this documentary is this documentary is a compiling of the best bits and pieces of all the other conspiracy documentaries. So this is little bits and pieces from, yeah, all the different conspiracy documentaries, and then piling it up into one good documentary that flows and has all the pertinent information. Because this section here is taken from Peter Joseph and his Zeitgeist documentary, right? But Peter Joseph actually doesn't even fully know what's going on in the world, and he's actually advocating something bad. He's advocating this whole Zeitgeist movement was actually a bad thing, but in his documentaries, some of the stuff he talks about, he actually knows what he's talking about. Other things, he's wrong. He's not totally right. He hasn't worked out that it's the global elite and the New World Order that's causing the problem. But here, for example, he's exposing the North American Union. And he's right with the information about that, but other stuff in his Zeitgeist movie is actually wrong. That's why it can get really confusing, and that's why I was saying earlier this whole thing where some things are right and wrong at the same time. Like, the Zeitgeist movie is right, but it's wrong at the same time. And that's why it can be confusing for a lot of people studying these conspiracy theories and stuff, because they go, okay, this Peter Joseph, he's right, he's on the ball, and then suddenly he hits and he says something that's like, hold on, but that's wrong, and it can confuse them. It's like, well, how am I supposed to believe this Peter Joseph guy or what? And you get really thrown off by it. So that's why you have to use your own intelligence and judge from what you know to be true, and work out what the truth is, and not just believe everything that someone says. But there are some people who are really, like Russell Brand, for example, he's right about a lot of things, but he's also wrong about a lot of things. But someone like Alex Jones, surprisingly, is quite right about a lot of things. It's only a small amount of things that he's wrong about. But, and even the things that he's wrong about are like just exaggerations, because he gets excited on his radio show. And you know what I mean? He's like a real Texan. You know how Americans are like, well, man, I just went to the biggest party ever. Yeah. And like, it wasn't the biggest party ever. Like, they get excited. That's the sort of attitude that Alex Jones has. So he exaggerates some of the evil and stuff, but it's not like he's actually wrong. It's just exaggerating, going a bit too far, you know. But he's a really good source. I reckon him and David Icke are good sources for information, because they're really, you know, quite on the ball, I think. And a trait in order to tell if someone's worthy of taking their advice is, can they admit that they were wrong about something? Peter Joseph, for example, is someone who can't admit that he's wrong about something. He can't be wrong about anything. Absolutely not. Those sort of people are bad, because they don't progress and learn and educate themselves and get better and better, because they can't admit they were wrong about anything. They think they're right about everything all the time. That's a really, really poisonous attitude to have. I personally used to believe in global warming and believe in actually some of the Greens' ideas and stuff. I actually believe that the police should be harder on enforcing drug rules and stuff, and drug laws. Now, I don't believe there should be any laws on drugs, on the legalization of drugs, because I've seen a lot more information and I've changed and my ideas have evolved. So see how I can go along in life and improve and start finding out more and more what the truth is, and just be more and more right and more with the truth. And these people like Peter Joseph go along and they get stuck in their ideas, like Peter Joseph has certain ideas that he's stuck in, and he can't admit that he was wrong about something, and he can't learn, and he can't change, and he just keeps on going along, and he gets worse slowly as he goes along with time, you know? So when you're looking for someone, and David Icke does this as well, because he goes, he admits he was wrong about certain things. David Icke is someone good to trust. You know what I mean? Like these sort of people, when they're starting out at the start, maybe can be a little bit questionable because they're working out the truth. You know what I mean? But while, after they've been around for a long time with this attitude that they can be wrong, they slowly learn, they become a lot more smarter. So what I'm trying to say is when if you want to look for someone who you can trust your advice from, look to see if they can admit that they're wrong to something, if they can handle that they're being wrong to something. And also, another really simple thing is look to see how happy the person is. That's actually a pretty good indication as well. Some people have who have a genuinely nice and positive attitude and friendliness are usually quite accurate with the information, quite good with the information. Anyway, let's continue this documentary.
It's called the North American Union. And you might want to ask yourself why you've never heard of this. In fact, there is only one mainstream reporter who has actually heard of and has had the courage to cover this issue.
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, from cities and so forth, they don't know anything about this.
This isn't some trade agreement. It is a total removal of sovereignty from these countries, which will also result in a completely new currency called the Amero.
When this is a total removal of sovereignty from these countries, people don't know what the word sovereignty means. Okay, it means that the ability of a country to be in control of itself and to dominate the land that it's in. So basically, if a corrupt corporation wanted to take over a country, they could destroy the government, destroy the government's sovereignty, and then they become the new sovereign, the corporation, and they control everything, right? And usually what they do is they infiltrate the government, they become the government, they increase their power, and now they're sovereign and they rule the world, but they tell everyone that the government's ruling it and the government is sovereign, but they're not. The government has been hijacked and the government doesn't represent the people anymore. The government represents a corporation. So in order to attack the New World Order, they have to go into all these countries and ruin the country's sovereignty. And then the New World Order takes over and the New World Order is in control of all these countries and the New World Order is a new sovereign, is a new sovereignty or whatever, you know? So that's why in order to defeat the New World Order, you have to keep each individual country strong. You have to keep each individual country with closed borders and not allow United Nations or European Unions to take over the power of individual countries. So don't have the European Union say to Germany, you have to do blah, 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 blah. Germany gives the European Union an FU and says, I'm going to do what I want in my own country. That's the sort of attitude you need. Whereas the European Union wants to be able to tell each country what to do and those people in those countries to go, oh, okay, yes, we have to follow your orders. Yes, it's for the best. It's for the greater good. It's for the European Union. And, you know, follow along with it. That's what the New World Order people want. And that's what they're trying to set up. But the Brexit was a big FU by UK to the European Union. And they're saying, we're going to control our own stuff and we're going to be sweet. It's a really big win for freedom, but let's continue.
Apart from that, I think think one thing people who are dollar-based need to focus on is the Amaro. That's the one thing that nobody's talking about that I think is going to have a big impact on everybody's life in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. The Amaro is the proposed new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community much like the EU, and the dollar, Canadian dollar, U.S. dollar, and the Mexican peso replaced by the Amaro.
By default of this agreement, the American Constitution will eventually be obsolete. You would think that a situation like this would be on the cover of every major newspaper. That is until you realize the people who are behind this movement are the same people behind the mainstream media, and you are not told what you're not supposed to know.
Okay, I just work out what the problem with Peter Joseph is. That's Peter Joseph, the guy talking right now. He is a smart guy, and he is switched on, right? But like I said, he can't be wrong about things. So he goes and investigates the New World Order, and he goes, I think this is what's going on, right? And boom, that's how it is, and it doesn't change, right? And then the problem is, when he can be right about something, like he's talking about this information right now, which is right about, and that's great, but not everyone's perfect, so there's some things that he's wrong about, right? Because we're all not perfect, right? But the fact that he can't be wrong is he doesn't change. He doesn't go, oh, maybe I'm wrong about this. And he keeps on going, and so he keeps on spewing out good information and then fake information and wrong information because he can't admit that he's wrong. So what he really needs to do is he really needs to say, I can make a conclusion on something, but that conclusion isn't permanent and it doesn't always stay fixed. And in the future, if I see new information, I can change and admit that I was wrong because I didn't have enough information to make the decision. That's the ability that he needs, but he doesn't have that. But if he had that, then he would be able to change and work out the mistakes he made, be able to correct them. But he has no self-correcting mechanism in him. He's just like this. He's studied and he's smart and he's right out a lot of things. Some things he's definitely wrong about, and he just sticks with them and he goes along. And that's really problematic. You need to never be like this Nazi that has like these fixed ways and fixed conditions of thinking and fixed things and like this is definitely it. You know what I mean? You have to be like, that's why I'm saying everything's a shade of gray. You have to be like, this is like 90% the case or 99% the case, but we'll see what happens and keep on going along. You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you right now, you can definitely bend a spoon with your mind, but I am aware that this shades of gray thing and that nothing's absolute. So there's always that tiny, tiny bit of doubt, which is fine because that means as I go along in life and I find that new information, I could admit that I was wrong. And if I do come across information about the spoon bending thing, I will admit that I'm wrong about it. If you see someone in comedy, obviously I'm not concerned about being embarrassed about what people think of me, you know? So I can admit that I was completely wrong about that. I can completely embarrass myself and be fine with it, you know? And that's, Peter Joseph probably can't handle the embarrassment of being wrong about something. He can't handle just embarrassing himself because he was wrong about something. So he's just like, no, I'm not wrong. I'm totally right. He can't have that. What would really help him as a person is if he maybe got involved with a comedy show or something, or just did some really, really embarrassing things in public so that he just didn't care what people think about him. And then you'd find he'd probably go along and be like, you know what? Maybe I was wrong about something, because he's not worried about embarrassing himself. That's probably what his problem is. He's probably got some serious embarrassment problems. He's really worried what people think of him. Anyway, let's continue this documentary.
The same concept as the European Union, the African Union, and the soon-to-be Asian Union. And the same people are behind all of them. And when the time is right, the North American Union, the European Union, the African Union, and the Asian Union will be merged together, forming the final stages of a plan these men have been working on for over 60 years. A one-world government.
We shall have world government whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Whoa, hold on. Okay, I just have to pause that. That's a really good point. See, they're trying to get people to consent, to agree with the New World Order, to trick people and to get them to go along with it so they don't have to roll out guns and fight them. What Hitler did with the New World Order is he went about it the totally wrong way, and they've definitely learnt from him, because he just went out with guns and said, we're making a New World Order now, and I'm going to be in charge of the whole world. And he just went, and it's too big a fight. It's too hardcore doing it that way. It's much better doing it in a shifty, dodgy way, sucking people along, getting people to agree to it, right? And then maybe getting enough people to agree, maybe a bit of both is the best way of doing it, getting enough people to agree along and suck them in. Then when you got enough people in, then suddenly go boom, and then just go, we're going to roll it out all the way. But if you go from the start, we're just going to take over the world, it's difficult, and it's hard. So that's just a really important thing, because there's the book 1984, which is very much about force. And then there's a book called Brave New World by Aldous Huxley or whatever. And that Aldous Huxley's book has more of the idea of getting everyone to agree to being slaves. And New World Order is a bit more, sorry, and 1984 is a bit more using force. 1984 is definitely a bit of both. It's definitely a bit of, we're going to take over the world, 1984, but also, you know, we're going to suck everyone in as well. Hitler was totally, we're just going to take over the world. We don't care what they say, we're just going to use guns. And Brave New World is, we're going to take over the world and have these people not know that they've been taken over, not even know that they're slaves. It's really epic. Okay, now I've just got to do something for a second. Okay, yep, sorry, just sorted that out. All right, continue. I'm reading out a quote, by the way. Paul Warburg, Council on Foreign Relations, architect of the Federal Reserve System. Okay, so that quote was by that guy.
A globalist is someone who believes in globalism, and globalism essentially is the desire...
This is Jim Mars talking right now, and I'm... Jim Mars, like a lot of these people, like David Icke or L. Ron Hubbard or Alex Jones, are either the greatest people ever or the biggest shit talkers ever. And I'm leaning towards the greatest people ever. I'm leaning toward the evidence is indicating that they're totally really switched on. Because if you listen to what these researchers say, I mean, it's so out there what they talk about. It's so out there. Even like Jim Mars, he talks a lot about aliens and stuff. It's so out there, but the evidence is just taking them there. They're just investigating where it goes to. And I really don't think they're talking crap. Like, for someone who doesn't know anything, they'll listen to this person and go, what the hell is this person talking about? None of this is true. But when you keep on investigating, you see the evidences that they're talking about. They make good arguments, you know? That makes a lot of sense. When you start looking into this New World Order and you really look at the investigating information in this documentary and you start opening up your eyes, to me personally, at first it might lead you to have a lot of questions about things, but then you work out answers for them and suddenly the world makes a lot more sense the way things are. I'll give you an example, right? Before I got into all these conspiracy theories, there was a few things I saw, right? I saw the GFC financial collapse in America, where the government bought out the banks and got into an epic amount of debt. And I saw that and I was like, what the hell? There's something really wrong there. This just does not make sense. How can a country get into this much debt? What does it lead to and stuff? And like the banks fucked up and the government just saved them by giving them a whole bunch of money. And the executives just ran off with all this money. And then we're just like, yeah, right. We won. You know what I mean? So not only did they, it's just so epic. So that was a really big out point. Like something's really wrong there. Then, I heard of someone having a dream about something happening. And then a week later that actually happened. And I was like, what the hell? That person predicted future. And you might say, well, that's just a coincidence. You know, lots of people dream about certain things, but it's just like, no, this dream is really spot on. It was like, no, this dream was really accurate. It was like, what the hell? And it happened a week later. You know, just weird. And then there was another. Oh, then psychiatry and psychology, where I noticed how they were selling antidepressants that don't really work on everyone, that for a lot of people don't even make them happy, and they're called antidepressants. And when you go to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, they don't even really give you, maybe they do now, but back then, 2010, they don't really give you specific advice on how to solve your problem that you've got. Whereas if you go to another doctor to fix your broken arm, they can go and fix your broken arm. But, or you go to a mechanic to fix your car, they can fix your car. But you go there with depression, they can't go, this is how you cure it. And it's just like, why? And they go, it's too complex. And it's just like, really? It isn't. It isn't too, I know how to cure it. It isn't too complex. Okay? And you're like, you see these things and you go, what the hell's going on? Like, you're a little bit confused about life. You're like, this just doesn't make any sense. And then you investigate the industry of psychology and psychiatry and you're like, this is just a shitty industry. Like, no offense to anyone who's, I mean, I know they're trying their best. But like, it's not like it's really professional, and they're not really doing a good job. They're kind of like, imagine if a builder like half built your house and then took your money and left. But builders build your house, you pay for it, and you get a good house a lot of the time, you know? Anyway, so you see those, I used to see these three things and just go, what the hell's going on? Anyway, but then you look into all these things by Jim Mars and Alex Jones, David Icke, and you start actually getting answers for why things are the way that they are. And things make sense. And you're like, well, this person's talking a lot of outrageous shit. Like, it's really out there, but it's answering questions and it's starting to make sense. And it's where the evidence is leading. And so that's why I don't think that they're full of crap. That's why I don't think what they're talking about is the most outrageous thing, because they're right about too many things. And it's answering too many things. You know? Anyway, let's continue. This is Jim Mars speaking.
For one world government, one world military, one world economy, which on a broad philosophical basis may not be that bad. But the problem is that we are being pushed into globalism by secrecy and by deceit. And nobody's getting a chance to actually consider the ramifications or consider the methodology that's being used to push us into this globalization. And that leads to the $64,000 question. Let's assume that these globalists, and they make no secret about their desire for one world economy, one world government. Let's assume that they're successful. What is our guarantee that some new Hitler-like tyrant won't gain control of that worldwide mechanism?
Okay, that's a really important thing, because it's really dangerous when you have an organization that's really big and has total control. That is like dangling a red flag in front of a bull for someone who's a manic, self-obsessed, absolutely thinks it's the greatest thing ever, really, really violently competitive individual, like Hitler, like a lot of other people in history. When you create a one world government like that, those people gravitate to it like there's no tomorrow. This is just like, it's like a teenage boy having like a hot smoking redhead teacher teach them as a substitute teacher, and they're just frothing at their mouth, like, oh, look at this teacher. It's just like they just go all the way towards it. So like these when you set up a big government thing like that, it's just like, oh no, just before you know it, these people are gonna be trying to get in that seat so bad, and they'll assassinate people and they'll poison people and they'll blow things up and they'll do anything to get in charge of that government, like more than ever. And it's just like only a matter of time. If you put a good guy there, only a matter of time, one day, one of these sort of people get in that role and take it over. So you don't want to set up a system like that. Even if you set it up and you've got a good person leading it, it's great, but it's only great for a certain amount of time before you know someone's going to get in there. You know what I mean? Don't want to set up these systems like that because it's just asking for problems in the future. It's very risky. You want to have a lot of small little things and people only loosely connected and no big power roles. If you have lots of small little things around that aren't really connected, then those really greedy people won't really bother to try to get in control of that small little part because they only want ultimate power and ultimate success. So you might get one evil one getting part of a small one, then try and connect it with another one, try and connect it with another one, and then have all this power. But so that's the threat you've got, but that's a long time before they manage to connect it all together. And you've got to fight it. You've got to have in the rules you can't have ultimate power as well to prevent that. But also, they're less likely to gravitate towards the power position in these little small organizations because it doesn't turn them on as much. They're not as attracted to it, like a magnet and a red rag to a bull. It doesn't make them go, whoa, you know, as much. They just end up living, you know, unhappy lives, trying to get as much power as they can and being a bit disilluded with life and stuff. Let's say as a little kid, they look on the TV or in school, they see someone big and powerful in charge of some big organization. They get a hard on, they go, oh, yeah, and they want to become, it gives them a meaning in life, and suddenly they got this purpose. I've got to get in charge of that government, you know, or that new world order, you know. But when you don't have those things, they don't see any of these big things to aspire to, and they're a little bit like, you know, oh, I'll just play with my sandcastle or something. Like, they're just negative sort of people that you know that are a bit purposeless in life. And that's damn well where you need them. These sort of people are just such nutcases that when you improve them, they cause a lot of problems. And I experienced that with some of these sort of people because I did some Scientology stuff where you improve people, right? And I noticed that there were certain types of people where if you improve them and made them happier and stronger because they're just absolute idiots or they're really problematic people, right? Like sort of Hitler type of people, right? When you improve them, they just become more of a Hitler. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, it's a bit difficult, you know what I mean? Like, there are some people where you're like, oh, that person was better off being, you know, shy and introverted because now that they're successful, it's like shit. Like, now that they've improved in life, now that they're really causing more problems. And that's also another reason why some of these evil people at the top don't want society, people doing self-help courses or improving themselves because, firstly, they don't want anyone to compete with them. They just want to be a total dominant person. They want people in a bad condition so they just beat them all the time. But they also, what was I going to say? I totally forgot. Sorry, it's getting late. They also view other, they think that everyone thinks like them. Like, do you know how I used to do this, right? I don't do this anymore because I know. And you people might think that everyone is nice and wouldn't harm other people, right? Or like, when you look at some of this evil stuff that I'm talking about, it's just like, how can someone be like that? How? They think so differently. You're like, what the hell? They're just totally fine with doing something that's absolutely outrageous like that. Like, how do they do that? You know, because you're thinking of things from your viewpoint, from how you think, but you're not in their shoes. These evil people don't give a fuck about other people. They have no heart. They're not human. They don't feel that. They don't feel sorry for people. They can just, like a bully, right? They can just bully the shit out of some kid until they cry and the kid commits suicide and not even care. They'll laugh and go, that was funny as he committed suicide and walk off. And so we're so used to thinking the way we think. We think that everyone else thinks the way we think. But some of these small percentage of evil people don't think the way we think. They think the way they think in evil terms. So they think that we're all evil as well. They think that we think the way they think. Do you get where I'm going here? So they look at other people and they go, well, I don't want that person improving because that person improving, then they're going to stab me in the back and blah, 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 and cause all these problems. And it's just like, no, dude, not everyone's like you, man. We don't think like that. You're a fucking nutcase, right? But they don't know that. They think that everyone thinks the way they think. And then they're usually cynical and they're very bitter and negative and they think that everyone's like that. But that's not true at all. But they're just so used to the way they're thinking, they think everyone else thinks the way they think. So when it comes to self-help courses like Scientology courses or, you know, healthy food or just anything that helps someone, they don't like that because it scares them because they go, oh, this person's going to get stronger and get more confident and then try and assassinate me and take over my control or stuff, and it scares them. And I've actually heard these sort of people say stuff like, you know, that person getting more powerful scares me, you know what I mean? When there's no reason you should be scared about someone getting more powerful, only when the person's an evil little bastard, which is only a small percentage about it, small percentage of people. And they're out there. And that's concerning when they get more power. But if only these evil people knew how actually good the big, big majority of people are, if only really knew that and saw the evidence, then they could see how when someone gets better, they're less likely to harm them and they're safer. But, you know, how are you going to do that? They're usually very stubborn and they're hard to get in contact with. A lot of these really, really rich ultra-elite people like hidden away and stuff and, you know, limousines and stuff. And it's just like, good luck with that. It's going to be really hard. But that's just a reason why they also don't want people improving. It was two reasons. They want to keep their power and they don't want anyone rising up above that. And they also think if people get more powerful, they'll knock them off and do some other evil crap. All right, anyway, I'll continue with what I was playing. We're nearly towards the end of this podcast.
The driving force behind globalism is just plain old socialism. Because if they want to control every person in the world, if they're going to take care of you...
Yeah, anything that's socialistic is advocating a new world order. It's advocating a big, big government. So avoid socialism and communism and this big government idea. It's not good.
Cradle to grave. If they're going to take care of the education system, they're going to take care of the health system. All of that requires central...
Okay, exactly. They want to be in control of the education system. They want to be in control of their health system. They want to be in control of the religions. They want to be in control of the banking section. These things aren't necessary to be controlled. Okay? They don't need to be controlled, these things. Right? You can leave an education system all by itself. Right? And kids will learn and teachers will improve, and you don't need all these rules and regulations. You can just give out some advices on how to teach kids from the government, and the kids can improve. But what they'll do is they'll always argue and come up with all these reasons where, no, we need to be in control of education and improve it. We need to have standards and corrections, and we need to be in control of the plumbing industry, and we need to be in control of the banking industry and all this sort of crap, when a lot of the time, really, these things can be left alone. They're only just a small, small handful that need a little bit of control in society of government power. But these people come up with all these reasons for things needing power, okay? I'll just quickly finish what Jim Mars is saying, and then we'll wrap up the podcast.
Administration and the wealthy elite who have the money and the power know that if they can create a one world global social system, that they can control the central authority. In other words, control, world domination, one of the oldest desires in the history of the world, going all the way back to Alexander the Great.
Yeah. These people just want control of it. And like I was saying, they want control of everything. So I know it sounds ridiculous now, but I guarantee you, you let these people keep on going and they'll want to be in control of the lawns, bowls department. They want to be in control of how to cut your grass. They want to be in control of all the builders. They want to be, all they want, it's not even so much money. Money just, they do love money and they gravitate towards it because it gives them the power. They want more than anything, really. They want total control. It turns them on like there's no tomorrow. Like they love it. They froth at the mouth at getting in control of just every single thing, and they absolutely hate freedom. They cannot handle people thinking independently or acting independently, or people building houses their own way and stuff. And it doesn't matter if someone comes up with a great way of building houses, it's good. They don't care if their way of building houses is terrible and crap. Whatever they do, it's just, I want you doing exactly what I want. And I watched this documentary once on these psychopaths, and it was showing some crazy psychopaths, right, who's one of these types of people, in prison. And he was talking about how he used to, like, keep some woman and rape her all the time and stuff. And he was saying why he kept her and raped her and stuff, and he liked it. And I think it was his own daughter. Like, it was, you know, the total freaks. Like, they have a baby, and then, like, when the kid's 4 years old, they start totally raping it and controlling it. That's the point. It wasn't just that he wanted to rape her. You know what I mean? Like, he had some weird sex fetish and wanted to rape her, like, once a day or something. It was that what he said that he liked about it was the total domination and control of her and making her do every single thing he wanted when he wanted and scaring her and being into total control of her. And he literally said this, and he was saying, that's what I liked about it. I like being able to control her, you know? And these pedophiles and that, they don't necessarily really, they're not really attracted to kids. It's just that they love corrupting and screwing up and controlling these kids. That's what they get off to. It's the control point of it that they love. They love more than anything taking someone, making them do exactly what they say, and making them do something that they really, really, really don't want to do, right? Because that shows how much control they have. If they take someone, for example, who hates killing animals, who's an animal protester, really hates killing animals, right? They would love to get a hold of that person, rape them, and then force that person to kill an animal, and they'll sit there and they'll watch them kill an animal, and they'll force them to kill an animal, and they'll sit there and go, yeah, look how good that is. I made him kill an animal, and they absolutely hate killing an animal. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. Mm. Like, they literally, that's what turns them on. That's what they like. Because, let's just think of pedophilia for an example. There are plenty of people who have unusual sexual fetishes and they don't act on them. Or there's plenty of 65-year-old men who are married that see, like, a 20-year-old chick and go, yeah, she's pretty hot, I wouldn't mind tapping that. But they don't do it, right? Because they just go, you know, it's inappropriate and I'm married and stuff, right? But I'd like to do that, right? But they don't exercise on it. They don't actually do it. But these pedophile dudes, they actually do it. And they don't just do it, they do it in a way that harms a person and scars them, and it's a direct attack on the person. It's not that they're actually attracted to that little kid, you know? The only thing they're attracted to is harming that little kid, you know? So I'm just giving you an idea of the mindset. You really have to think how they think and get in their shoes in order to understand how they think and act and feel and stuff in order to understand why they do the way what they do. Anyway, that's it for this podcast. It's part 5 of the Wake Up Call New World Order. We're still not even near halfway through this documentary. And that's what I'm saying. See how much this documentary has so much stuff to bring up. That's why when I was watching this, I was like, this documentary is on the ball permanently. It just, I was watching it in the background and I was like, I've got to continue watching this. It just keeps on gravitating me towards it. So on the ball about things. And then you go off on all these tangents of all these things to talk about because it's so, there's so much to elaborate on this documentary. That's why you might watch it, and if you don't know much about the New World Order or evil people, or what's really going on in the world, you might just think, what the hell is this? And not find that true, but it's because this is just a summary. This is just a tip of the iceberg of what's really going on in the world, and it needs all this elaboration, but you can't release a 10-hour documentary. Just people don't watch it and they can't afford to make it. But it really needs so much information, right? Anyway, that's it for the podcast. If you're in Melbourne, check out the Kink TV show every Friday night at 11:30 p.m. on Channel 31. I host it. It's just a comedy show. It doesn't deal with any of this political stuff, really. But yeah, you can also just search it in YouTube, the Kink TV show. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Andy Nolch, the Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me, signing out. Nihao.